You claim to be a man and yet you are using a woman's body to speak through. SP. Lies, nothing but lies. Doctor, it is true, nevertheless. You have woman's clothes on. You know there is something strange about your condition. You probably do not know that you are in Los Angeles, California. SP. Oh, I am not. Doctor, where should you be? SP. I have been on the go for some time, traveling. Doctor, look at your hands, they are not yours. SP. I never saw you before. You put all that electricity into me, and I feel like giving you a good licking. What do you think of any man doing such a thing to another man? It goes right through you. You don't know how it hurts. I'm not going to stand for any more such nonsense. I stood it for a long time, then I went. When I left, a great big Indian spirit got hold of me and put me in prison. I got loose after a while and came here. Doctor, you have been bothering a woman who was a patient of ours, and electrical treatments given to her dislodged you. SP. What is the matter with me? I have felt so crowded. Doctor, can't you understand that you are in a strange situation? You were probably a big man and you felt crowded because you were occupying a body smaller than your own physical body. Why don't you open your mind and learn the facts? SP. There's nothing to learn. Doctor, it has probably been a long time since you lost your body. What year is it? SP. I had a good long sleep and I don't know. Doctor, shouldn't your present strange condition cause you to ask questions? We cannot see you, we can only hear you talk. SP. What sense is there in talking to a person when you don't see him? Doctor, this lady is a psychic, and you are a spirit talking through her body. SP. I don't believe you. Doctor, this is my wife's body. Are you my wife talking to me? SP. I'm not your wife. I'm a man. Doctor, I drove you away from the woman you were controlling. You made her act like an insane person. How did you come here? SP. You tell me how? Doctor, you are an invisible spirit. You do not understand your situation. The lady you have been bothering happened to be in a nervous condition and susceptible to spirit obsession, and you obsessed her. You made that lady do many insane things. What do you think of such actions? SP. I wouldn't say it was anything very grand, but I don't even know any woman. Doctor, you influenced her to cut off her hair and to run away? SP. What did I want with long hair? I went to sleep and when I woke up my hair had grown too long, so I cut it off, that's all. Doctor, that was the woman's hair you cut? SP. It was too long. Doctor, that is her business. Just reverse things. Suppose you had your own body and somebody cut your hair off, would you like it? SP. No, I wouldn't, but she couldn't help yourself. Doctor, don't you think that you were very selfish? SP. I don't know. Say, if, as you say, I'm dead, why is it that I'm not in heaven or hell? Doctor, there are no such places. SP. I haven't seen God or Christ or the devil, yet you tell me I am dead. Doctor, you are not dead. SP. Why, just a little while ago you said I was. Doctor, you are dead to the world. SP. You said I was dead. Doctor, I said you were so-called dead, you lost your physical body. SP. You said I was dead. Doctor, now listen to reason, or I will have to take you into the office and give you more electricity. SP. I don't want that, it makes you feel like you were burning up. Doctor, we wanted to get you out, and we succeeded. SP. What business is it of yours if I stayed there? Doctor, we wanted that lady to be rid of you. SP. You had no right to get me away from her. Doctor, do you think it was right of you to control her and disturb her life? SP. A fellow has got to have some place to live. Doctor, suppose it had been your mother and a selfish spirit were controlling her and making her act as if insane, do you think that would be right? SP. I was not insane, and I did not make her insane either. Doctor, it was an insane act for her to cut off her hair and run away. SP. How would you like to have your hair long, if you were a man? Doctor, it was the lady's body and the lady's hair, not yours. Now you have been driven from the lady's body, and you must change your conduct. If you are not careful, you will be put into a dungeon. You said a short time ago that an Indian got hold of you. You had better be careful or another Indian will get hold of you. SP. I will fight him if he does. Doctor, listen to me. My wife is a psychic and she allows such spirits as you to control her body to bring them to a realization of their condition. You should appreciate the privilege. There are thousands of spirits who would be glad to be in your place at this moment. You know that you are in a strange condition. Perhaps some of your kindred are here. They will take you with them to the spirit world. You must behave yourself and understand and be sensible. SP. What shall I do? Doctor, understand that there is a spirit world, and that you should strive to reach it. SP. You mean heaven? Doctor, the kingdom of heaven is within one. SP. Don't you believe that Christ died for your sins? Doctor, he did not die for mine. Don't you understand that something is lacking in such a belief? Jesus taught us how to understand life. He did not die for the sins of anyone. Those who believe that Christ died for their sins lack the right understanding of his teachings. It is a sin against God to teach such a doctrine. If it were true, it would mean that God had made a mistake and was forced to provide an intercessor as an offering of atonement for his own mistake. Now, friend, you must leave my wife, and you must also leave the other lady alone. SP. What are you talking about? I never saw your wife. Doctor, you are temporarily controlling my wife's body. We cannot see you. If you do not come to your senses pretty soon, we shall have to force you out, and then you will be in the outer darkness which the Bible speaks about. SP. It is not right that God should treat me as he has. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I went to church and paid a whole lot of money to the church, because they said if I did not give money I would go straight to hell when I died. And I thought when I paid my money I should get my money's worth. Doctor, what did Jesus say? God is spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, not a spirit. The Bible says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Where will you look to find such a God except within your own self? Ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. What is heaven? It is a condition of your own mind, attained when you understand life's purpose. SP. Isn't heaven a place? It says so in the Bible. It says heaven is paved with golden streets. Isn't that so? Doctor, that, like many other statements in the Bible, is symbolical of great truths of life. SP. You said a short time ago that Jesus did not die for your sins. What do you believe? Doctor, I recognize that we are all spiritual beings in mortal bodies while on earth. When we pass out of our mortal bodies with understanding, we will not waken in darkness, but our spiritual eyes will be open, and advanced spirits will help us to progress in the spirit world. Some kind spirit friends of yours may be here now. Do you not realize that some change has taken place with you? SP. I can talk more than I could. You said I was talking through your wife. How can I talk through her? Doctor, my wife is a psychic who is so developed that spirits can talk through her, and intelligent spirits have allowed you to control her. However, you will not be able to stay long. SP. I think I will stay here. I feel better. I feel pretty good now. Doctor, you will feel still better after you realize the beautiful condition in the spirit world. You will have to become as a little child, then you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Do not merely believe, but try to understand. What is your name? SP. Edward. Doctor, and your other name? SP. I don't know. Doctor, where did you live? Do you know that you are in Los Angeles, California? Do you know what year it is? SP. No, I don't know. Doctor, why don't you know? SP. I have no memory. I can't think. I don't know anything anymore. Such a state of bewilderment suggests that the cause of amnesia conditions found in certain patients is probably possession by confused spirit intelligences. Doctor, that is because you have been in the outer darkness, and, being a wandering spirit, you drifted into that lady's aura, controlled her and made her act as if insane. S.P. I wanted to have a good, quiet home. Doctor, is it right to do the things you have done? S.P. When you have been walking in darkness for a long time, and you see a light, don't you want to stay? Doctor, that is not the right kind of light. You need the spiritual light of understanding. S.P. Then do you think I ought to go to church and sing, and pray to God, and read the Bible? Doctor, did you ever make a thorough study of the history of the Bible to learn who wrote it? S.P. It was God's inspired book. Doctor, God did not write the Bible, the book is man-made. Could one credit God with having written certain things in the Bible, many of which are unfit to be read in respectable society? S.P. Who wrote the book? Doctor, it was compiled from many sources, during different periods, mainly for the purpose of keeping people in subjection through fear of an imaginary devil and hell. The Bible is a collection of poetry, history, allegories and philosophy, of contradictions and truths. But humanity believes that every word of the Bible is inspired, and insists upon interpreting it literally, instead of accepting what is reasonable. The Bible states that, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, and spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Hence, religion is a process of mental discernment. The teachings of Christ contain wonderful truths, but the allegories have been taught as historical facts by the Church, and dogma, doctrine and creed have obscured their underlying spiritual significance. S.P. Don't you believe that God made the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh? Doctor, no. That is only an allegorical statement. The 7 days are symbolical of the seven principles in nature. God is at once the creator and the creation. If God should rest, all would be at an end. We should understand life as it is, not merely believe what is told us. Now it is getting late and you cannot stay any longer. See whether someone is here whom you know. S.P. Oh. There's my mother. It's a long time since I saw her. But she died when I was a kid. Doctor, listen to her, she can help you. S.P. Oh, mother, will you take me? I take me, mother, I'm so tired. Oh, mother, take me with you. Doctor, of course she will take you with her, but you will have to rid yourself of all your foolish beliefs and acquire understanding. S.P. Let me go. Rising to walk away. Doctor, you will have to think yourself with your mother. You can't take this body with you because it belongs to my wife. Just think yourself with your mother, and you will be there instantly. S.P. I'm so tired and weary, so tired. Let me go with my mother. I see her coming. She went away for a while. Doctor, now go with your mother. God gave you intelligence to think, and you must be reasonable and let your mother and others teach you. S.P. Mother says I must ask you to forgive me for being so rude, and she also says I must ask that lady to please forgive me for bothering her. Doctor, can you tell us where you came from? S.P. I can't remember. Doctor, what year do you think it is? S.P. It should be 1901. Doctor, that was 19 years ago. Who is the president? S.P. McKinley. Doctor, he was shot on the 6th of September. 1901, and died on the 14th. This is 1920 now. S.P. Where have I been all that time? Sleeping? The winter of 1901-1 was awfully sick, and it seems hard to remember anything else after that. It was around Christmas and I caught cold, and I was very sick. Doctor, where were you when you were taken sick? S.P. I was working in the woods. I worked in a lumber town at lumbering. I remember something hitting me on the head, and that's all I remember. My mother says my name is Sterling. Yes, that's it. Doctor, can your mother tell what place you came from before you took up lumbering? S.P. I was born in Iowa, mother says, But when I got hurt, I was working in the woods in northern Wisconsin. I used to live in Iowa. Doctor, can you remember the name of the town?
S.P.
No, I can't. Doctor, well, friend, try to obtain an understanding of life, and be of service to humanity, instead of a detriment. You have been bothering a lady and she is not yet entirely free.
S.P.
I was not the only one bothering her. There are two more just as bad as I am. Doctor, when you have understanding, you must help this lady to get well, and take the other spirits away from her.
S.P.
I will try. Thank you. Goodbye. I. Haunted houses are often frequented by spirits who seek revenge for wrongs suffered by them during life. While Mrs. Wickland and I were in Wisconsin, we held a circle in the home of friends, and Mrs. Wickland was controlled by the spirit of a man who said he had been murdered by the owner of a nearby stone quarry, but that he was still alive in his house at the side of the quarry. He laughed spitefully and said, "He killed me, but I am having my revenge." I haunt him. Although we explained to the spirit the existence of a higher life, he stated that he was not yet ready to leave his old haunts, and refusing to progress, departed. Our friends then told us that they had known this man in life, that 10 years before, the quarry had been owned by 3 men, one of whom, desiring to own the quarry himself, had bought the holdings of the second man, but the third man, who lived in the house by the quarry, had refused to sell. A few days later, the third man was found dead, and, although there was no proof as to the identity of the murderer, there was a strong suspicion in the neighborhood that the first partner was the perpetrator of the crime. As time went on, the owner of the stone quarry developed a strange reluctance to work the quarry, and rumor said that he was haunted by his dead partner. It became common report that the house nearby was haunted, and when our friends had driven there a year before to pick berries, they had had an unusual experience. After placing the horse in the empty barn, they noticed some berries in the yard and returned to the barn for a basket, when the horse began to rear wildly and neighed in terror. Stopping in amazement, our friends heard a coarse laugh and, looking about, saw a grinning man standing in the doorway of the deserted house. It was the man who had died several years before. They had known him in life and recognized him now. The man laughed and vanished, and our friends rushed to the barn, took the horse out and drove away in great haste. We had a series of letters from Mrs. G. G., who resided in a village in New York. She was a psychic and clairvoyant whose house was haunted by a band of evil spirits. She wrote that she had been in the best of health when she had moved into this house, but had soon become afflicted with a strange ailment of the arms and legs which no doctors could relieve. Spirits who claimed to be her guides advised her to have a psychic circle every evening and sit for half an hour, saying they could help her in this way. They explained that she was being injured by the spirit of the woman who had built the house, and that she could free herself by having a certain friend of hers attend the next circle. This friend came, and the spirit said she would leave with this woman. When the latter reached her home, she was taken with the same sickness with which Mrs. G. G. had been troubled, while Mrs. G. G. recovered. But disturbances of various kinds continued in the house. Even the orchard was haunted, and spirits were heard to say that Mrs. G. G. could not live if she remained there, for they would kill anyone who came into that house. The G.S. sold the house and moved away without telling the purchasers anything of their mysterious experiences. The new owners took possession of the house, and the mother, an elderly lady, went to bed the first night apparently well, but in a short time screamed that 2 men had come into her room threatening to kill her, and before morning she was dead. Mrs. G. G., however, continued her circles, but was unable to rid herself of spirit influences, and finally wrote to us afraid, "There is no one I can go to or depend upon. I joined the New Thought Society to be helped. They claimed to send out vibrations, but I failed to get in on the wave. No one prays more earnestly for help than one, or tries harder to do right. Tell me, if you can, how to get relief." We concentrated for the lady, as well as the house, and a number of spirits were brought from both. One of the first declared that he did not know he was obsessing Mrs. G. G. Another spirit was Harry Harris, who had so brutally mistreated his wife that she had shot herself. How his life had ended we did not learn. He insisted that he was not dead, but was living in an old house with a band of outlaws, spirits, and that they would kill anyone who dared to move into their house. Another evening four spirits were brought from the haunted house, first two women, then Pete, who had been a dexterous pickpocket in life, and a woman named Kate, who had been killed by Pete and had hounded him ever since. To conceal himself, Pete was hiding with others in a house that belonged to them, and to no one else. "We kill anyone who comes in," he said, speaking through Mrs. Whitland. He admitted having troubled Mrs. G. G. "I stayed with her to get my grub," he said. While Pete was speaking, Kate took control of another medium who was in the circle, and Pete was terror-stricken, while Kate attempted to escape from him. Each thought the other was a ghost, and neither was aware of controlling a psychic. It was some time before they realized that both had died. Finally, Pete sank on his knees and begged Kate to forgive him. A reconciliation followed and both left, promising to reform. Later, Mrs. G. G. wrote that she had greatly improved. In answer to an urgent appeal for help, Mrs. Whitland and I called at the home of Mr. and Mrs. C., in Pasadena, where nightly rappings and noises were keeping the family awake for hours. Mr. C. had purchased this house from the children of an elderly lady who had died some time before. A fact not known to us until later, the house had been moved to Mr. C.S. lot, remodeled there, and the C.S. had then moved into it, only to be disturbed by noises of all kinds. Every night, between 12 and 4, the door of a closet between two bedrooms was shaken and rattled loudly, and rappings and crackings kept the family awake. While we were seated in one of the rooms of the C. home, discussing the situation, Mrs. Wickland became unexpectedly entranced by a spirit who complained of intense rheumatism, and stormed at the C.S. for living in her house. "This is my house," she declared peremptorily, "and these people have no business in it. I will chase them out." The controlling spirit proved to be the former owner of the house, and later inquiry bore out the statement that she had suffered severely from rheumatism. She could not realize that she was dead but insisted that she was still living in her own house, although troubled by intruders. "If I am dead, why am I not in heaven?" she asked. Many explanations at last resulted in understanding and a penitent departure, and in a letter written several months later Mr. C. stated that all noises had entirely ceased in the house. That spirits often play a serious part in domestic disturbances and break up many homes, we have had ample evidence. A patient, Mrs. C., who was brought to us from a northern state, was the second wife of a Dakota farmer. After the birth of her first child, she developed a tendency to wander away at random, and when brought back and questioned, she could only give vague answers, but always insisted that her husband, a steady, reliable farmer, was faithless to her. When the obsessing spirit was transferred to Mrs. Wakeland, we found that it was none other than the first wife, who indignantly accused her husband of being faithless to her, and said that she was determined to get rid of her rival. After passing out of the physical body, she had remained on the farm, but she was unaware of her death, and did not realize that her rival was her husband's second wife. The spirit, after due explanation and enlightenment, left, and Mrs. C., restored to herself, returned to her Dakota home. We had a similar experience with an acquaintance of ours, a gentleman whose first wife had died, leaving him to care for their small son. Later he married again, but before long we noticed that the family life was becoming unhappy, and the culmination came one Sunday morning when the second wife angrily left the house. The husband desolately came to our home, followed presently by the little boy, and although they had never visited us before, they remained for some hours. In the evening the boy returned, and while Mrs. Wickland was conversing with him and a group of friends, she became controlled by the spirit of a woman who said she was the boy's mother. She had no knowledge of her death and craved longingly to caress her small son, saying, "I want my boy. I want my boy." Then she burst forth into a jealous denunciation of her successor and declared she would drive her out of the house. I chased her away this morning. She exulted. She, too, was finally made to understand the true situation, and, regretting the suffering she had caused, promised to do everything possible to make amends. The second wife returned home again, and, during the 10 years which have elapsed since this episode, no further disturbances have occurred in the family. Miss L. was the young fiancé of a widower who had formerly, with his wife, occupied a flat in the same building in which the young lady lived, and the two women had been intimate friends. The wife died very suddenly, and some time after her death the gentleman became engaged to the young lady. Soon after this the latter began to show mental abnormalities which continually grew worse. In her normal condition she esteemed the man highly, but when she came to us she had a violent dislike for him, and asserted that she would rather die, or go to an insane asylum, than marry him. She had made several attempts to end her life but had each time seemed to come to herself at the last moment and call for help. At the time the patient entered the institute, Mrs. Whitland clairvoyantly saw the spirit of a woman of the brunette type possessing the patient, who was a decided blonde. This spirit was so interblended with the patient that it was difficult for Mrs. Whitland to determine, from the transfiguration, whether the patient was light or dark. When Mrs. Whitland described this spirit, the patient's mother and fiancé both recognized her as the man's former wife. The patient proved very obdurate, screaming spells alternated with obstinate, stubborn moods, and she could not be left alone at any time. She declared herself insane and scoffed at being cured, and insisted that she wanted to die, for if she lived she would have to marry that man. One day, during a treatment, she entered a semi-trance condition and the spirit intelligence expressed itself forcefully. He shall never marry her. He shall never have her. I will drive her to an insane asylum, or I will kill her, but he shall never have her. Immediately following this, the spirit of a child spoke defensively as if protecting a mother. The patient's sister, who was present, recognized in the latter intelligence the deceased 13-year-old son of the dead wife. The climax came a few days later. The patient had been unusually obstinate and unruly, and very contemptuous to her fiancé when he called. After a strong treatment was administered, the patient became quiet and slept well that night. However, during the night Mrs. Whitland was greatly troubled by the presence of a spirit who annoyed her until 4 o'clock in the morning, when she became completely entranced by the spirit of the man's former wife. After considerable effort I induced the spirit to talk, but she was with difficulty convinced of her real situation that she was a spirit and controlling Mrs. Whitland's body. She strongly censured both her former husband and our patient for their treachery to her, and repeated her threats against the girl. I will send her to the asylum. I will kill her, she declared. A great deal of argument and persuasion were needed to bring the spirit to repentance, but this was at last accomplished. Upon being asked if her son was with her, she said that she had seen him at times, but that he was dead and she did not want to have anything to do with him. The spirit was urged to leave the young woman whom she was tormenting and go with other spirit intelligences to a higher life, of which she showed herself entirely ignorant. Although repentant, she still longed to remain on the earth plane, but finally consented to leave and to cease troubling the patient. Then she suddenly became weak and declared she was dying. This sensation often occurs when spirits realize their actual situation. Sometimes they again experience the physical conditions under which they passed out of their earth bodies. Chills and violent attacks of coughing added to the spirit's distress, and after a painful pseudo-death struggle she left. These symptoms were recognized by her husband and the patient's mother as corresponding exactly with those manifested by the man's wife at the time of her death from pneumonia. After this the patient recovered rapidly. She was soon able to leave the institute, is now well and happily married. A peculiar case was that of Mr. Me, a well-known man in Chicago, whose family name is one of highest social prominence. This man suddenly began to act strangely. He shunned the members of his family, and told his wife and relatives that he wished to live on a higher plane and wanted nothing more to do with them. Then one day he packed his trunk and left home, going to live in a small room which he had rented in the lowest section of the city.